You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast discussion of Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. In today's show, sponsored by the fine folks at BlueChew.com, we're going to be looking back at the weekend rumors for your Houston Rockets. It's the first full week of the offseason, eliminated last Monday in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Later last week, the NBA Finals are underway, and now, as we chat this Friday, they're almost over. The Warriors up 3 games done on the Cleveland Cavaliers. They can end it tonight in 4, which my guess is they will do. And at that point, it becomes the summer of LeBron James because, well, we all knew that the Western Conference Finals were effectively the NBA Finals. The Warriors and Rockets just in a much different tier than the Cavaliers. And this series has certainly reflected that. And with LeBron having the option to become a free agent this summer, it's now his decision whether Cleveland has enough to give him a legitimate shot to win championships moving forward, or if he wants to move on to other teams, the Rockets potentially being one of them, especially with Chris Paul, one of his best friends on the planet, on the team, and of course Houston having the core of a group that won 65 games, the most of any team in the NBA this year, and pushed the Warriors to 7, the only team in the Kevin Durant era of Golden State to push Golden State to the brink. There's a lot of pull to the Houston scenario, and well, it'll happen pretty quickly if it does, because for the Rockets, the most reasonable route, as we've explained plenty of times, would be for LeBron to opt in to the final year of his existing contract to facilitate a trade before the new year starts, on the new fiscal year, that is, on July 1st. So things would need to happen by the end of this month. Will they? Stay tuned. But the first domino that needs to fall on that front is the Cavaliers, well, losing in the NBA Finals, preferably in blowout fashion, and that's exactly what's happening, and it could be over as soon as tonight. And at that point, the rumor mill is really going to get cranked up. So to recap what we've heard so far, and also to preview what could be to come over the next couple of weeks when things really get going, the NBA tries to quiet rumors as best they can during the finals because they want the attention to be on the games on the basketball floor as much as possible. Once those games end, I think you're really going to see the rumor mill get kicked into overdrive. So what we're going to do on today's show, we're going to look at essentially what we've heard to this point and also lay out what could happen for the remainder of this month. We're going to start with the LeBron James discussion because I think that's on the forefront of every Rockets fan's mind. In segment 2, we're going to look at the DeAndre Jordan rumor, which I don't see a direct fit for, but it certainly doesn't hurt from the standpoint of having options. That's a report yesterday from Kelly Eco of USA Today Sports Group here in Houston that DeAndre is focused on the Rockets. And then to close out the show, we'll talk a little bit about the Players Association MVP award presented to James Harden this week, and of course the media MVP, the more traditional one, that's almost certainly going to be presented to him at the end of this month. We'll start with LeBron, and yesterday, that being Thursday, we had good news and bad news. We'll start with the good. That's Chris Bosh, his former teammate in Miami, predicting on the Colin Cowherd show that LeBron would sign with the Rockets. I don't think that LeBron is texting Chris Bosh updates by any means, so I certainly don't think that Chris has an inside scoop, so to speak. However, as a guy that was very close with LeBron for several years, I think he does have at least some knowledge to LeBron's thought process, his desire to compete. Certainly, as a championship player himself, I think he knows the landscape of the NBA very well, so it reiterates just how close Houston is if they're seen by Chris Bosh as the preferred destination. And perhaps more importantly, if there were something fundamentally wrong about the Houston situation that we weren't considering in terms of, for whatever reason, it not really being a fit for LeBron, I think Chris Bosh, after playing with LeBron 4 years on that original super team in Miami, I think Chris would have some indication. So for Chris to think Houston is not only viable, but the leading spot for LeBron to where he would predict it, I think that's very encouraging, and it's just one sign of many, but ultimately Chris is a pretty plugged-in guy, and so you'll take the positives wherever you can find them. Also, Keep in mind, Chris Bosh was pursued by the Rockets not once but twice in 2010 and 2014 when Coward pushed back asking how the Rockets can make the salary cap work without deconstructing the team. The math of course, bringing LeBron and adding him to largely the same supporting cast that won 65 games rather than having to tear it apart. That's when Bosh went out of his way to praise Daryl Morey and say that if anyone could get it done, he could. Well, Bosh knows that because when Morey pursued him in both 2010 and 2014, the math was not always easy in both of those scenarios as well. So Chris got a first-hand look at just how much Daryl Morey could and would be willing in the right circumstances to move heaven and earth to make the pieces fit for a star that he wants in Houston. Now, I would say the Bosh news was particularly encouraging because it came on a day that otherwise might be seen as negative for the Rockets, who remain, by the way, the Las Vegas favorites for LeBron James, according to all the odds that I've seen, because of a report from Chris Haynes of ESPN. Well, I shouldn't call it a report because he said it on someone else's podcast, but regardless, it became a report based on the aggregation sites and Chris Haynes of ESPN saying that the Rockets are, quote, not realistic as a landing spot for LeBron James. And first things first, I do believe Chris Haynes is very plugged in. I think he's close with Rich Paul and all the guys over at Clutch Sports, which is LeBron's agency. He's also got a lot of contacts, Chris Haynes, that is, amongst NBA players. He was one of the first guys last June who said that the Rockets were a very serious contender for Chris Paul when a lot of other people thought that he seemed to be ticketed for San Antonio or re-signing with the Clippers on that full five-year max deal. Chris Haynes was one of the first guys to point out the Rockets as a legitimate suitor. So I do take Chris's word very seriously. That said, there are a couple of things about this report that stood out to me. First, the choice of medium. Chris Haynes is a reporter for ESPN. If he's got solid intel that he trusts that the Rockets, who as I said are the Vegas favorites for LeBron James, are in fact not even really in play, he's going to report that on a platform in which he can monetize it. That's how the business of media works, be it a written ESPN story, an appearance on SportsCenter or some other ESPN programming. That's what he and his bosses want to happen. To throw it away at the 14-minute mark of someone else's podcast, it's not something you typically do when you're a reporter and you have what you would consider to be very solid info. It might be some kernels of truth to it, but oftentimes what happens on these podcasts is that it's secondhand, thirdhand information, it's opinion, intuition, a lot of little things, and of course people actually listening to the podcast understand what the person is communicating, but then in today's world of aggregation, the words get pulled out of context, and when people see them in print, it gets taken to mean more than it actually was intended to by the reporter. So first, I would say keep in mind that if Chris Haynes, the ESPN reporter, has something that he believes is solid about the Rockets and LeBron James, he's going to go where he can monetize it. That's not a random podcast that's not even his own or on an ESPN platform. Secondly, the language of not realistic is very interesting. Think about if you're in LeBron James's shoes and you're looking, or people that are talking about you are looking at job possibilities. I don't think if it was a matter of you not wanting to go somewhere that you would describe it, or someone describing your thought process, as not realistic. If it were just a matter of you didn't want to go there for whatever reason, it wasn't a fit, you just say, not interested. Not realistic is something that people say, and especially in the context of jobs, when it comes down to logistics, money, transportation, family factors, fit, etc., etc. And in the NBA world, not realistic and the factors we just described, logistics, more often than not, come down to the salary cap. Can you make the salaries work without deconstructing the team entirely and thus making the group unattractive? Do you have the trade assets to convince the original team that it's worth their while to move them? And as we've seen throughout this month, there are plenty of people in the NBA, and it's not going to get too deep into the process until, I would say, after the NBA Finals. I think LeBron is primarily focused on what's happening on the floor. He's playing for a championship right now. And I think what's happening behind the scenes is a lot of people who have some knowledge of his thought process are probably expanding and expounding a little bit more than they should in the wake of or in the absence of any real news from LeBron himself. And so I think what happens in a lot of these cases, and we've seen a lot in the aggregation articles out there, people take a cursory look at the salary cap situations and say, how can Houston get $30 million under the cap, which is what it would take to probably be in the game realistically for LeBron James, the traditional way, and they see how difficult it is, and Houston is described as not realistic. Of course, that's not the way Daryl Morey is looking at it. As described plenty of times here, I think the Rockets are looking at it through the prism of an opt-in and trade, the same way they got Chris Paul a year ago. Now, that's not to say that it's easy. If the Cavaliers are refusing to play ball no matter what, then yeah, it could become not realistic in a hurry. But to this point, I have seen so much premature speculation, especially from people who I know have not done their homework in terms of sourcing the Cavs side on the potential opt-in possibilities, as far as opt-in and trade possibilities from the Rockets side, or looking at any feasibility besides just clearing $30 million in cap room, that I'm wary of a report that is describing it as not realistic. Now, if LeBron is not interested, I'd buy that. For lots of reasons, it can just be a matter of personal preference, where he wants to live with his family. He may not want to go to Houston, and that's his prerogative, especially being a 15-year veteran and the greatest player in all likelihood that the game has ever seen. But not realistic, when you consider the stakes, the greatest player ever, and Daryl Morey, who is as creative as there is in the NBA, I don't really buy that. I think there are some people, even those close to the situation, who may be wondering that, but based on one report on someone else's podcast saying not realistic, I don't know. I'm not putting that much stock into it, especially when Chris Bosh, on the same day, predicts LeBron James to go to Houston. Now, in a moment, we're going to discuss some NBA rumors not related to LeBron James for the Rockets, but for now, I am going to briefly pause and tell you about the fine folks over at Blue Chew, who are the sponsors for today's show. And folks, it's Friday, that means the weekend is here, and guys, if you've got a date or anything even resembling that, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now there's a way you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. So listen up, it's BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no in-person doctor's visit, there's no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the United States, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, the best part of all, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code NBA. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code NBA to try it for free. That's Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. Jumping back into things, spent the first segment discussing the LeBron James rumors, the good and the not so good, the good being the report from Chris Bosh, or I shouldn't say report, the news that Chris Bosh sees LeBron James signing in Houston, the not so good being that ESPN reporter Chris Haynes, who is plugged in, says that the Rockets are not realistic based on what he has heard for LeBron James. That said, there are other alternatives for the Rockets this summer besides LeBron, should it not work out. We've mentioned the Paul George possibility in recent episodes, which you can find in our archives wherever you listen to Locked On Rockets. But another potential option, and it's actually been rumored for some time, given its Houston connections, could theoretically be DeAndre Jordan. And Kelly Eco, a friend of the show, former guest, currently Rockets writer for the USA Today's sports group, reported yesterday that DeAndre still very much has his eyes on Houston. And Kelly went as far as to say that after the infamous tunnel incident at Staples Center back in January, in which Trevor Rees and Gerald Green ended up getting suspended for allegedly trying to enter the Clippers locker room, DeAndre was actually communicating with Rockets players from the team bus, expressing his displeasure and trying to find his way to Houston, where, of course, he's a native. And besides being a native, he's got the connections, having previously played with Chris Paul and Luke Bamute on the Clippers. So, initial reaction, first, it's hilarious that after that incident that DeAndre was so fed up with his own teammates that he was texting the Rockets from the bus that night. I think that goes to show you just how silly it was from a Clippers perspective and just how ridiculous some of this stuff, particularly Blake Griffin bumping Mike D'Antoni clearly on purpose, was, that even one of the Clippers' own teammates, one of their star teammates, was willing to draw a line in the sand, so to speak, and point out how silly that is. That said, it's tough to see a real fit here because the Rockets have Clint Capella as their starting center, and he's better and 6 years younger. So DeAndre at 30, his prime still isn't over, but Clint Capella at 24 is still getting better. And not only is he, I would say, better now, he's also of paramount importance to the way the Rockets defend. All the growth the Rockets have shown defensively, a big part of it is their ability to switch. That's what was so especially valuable against the Warriors and Kevin Durant, because 1 through 5, the Rockets can switch on anything around those picks. There's no one that the Warriors can get an inherent advantage on, and that's the modern NBA. Well, DeAndre Jordan is a bit of a throwback. He's a very good defensive player, but he's your traditional rim protector in terms of 15-plus rebounds per game, a shot-blocking presence, all of his shots near the rim, which is fine, but when it comes to playing the Warriors, you set a pick, and whoever DeAndre is supposed to switch onto is probably going to be having a field day in terms of taking those threes because he's not able to come out or move his feet anywhere near as well as Clint Capella is. So don't just look at the numbers in terms of, 14 and 11 or whatever the averages are for the two players. Of course, Jordan more of a rebounding presence, so you might can reverse this traditional numbers. But for the Rockets, if you were to have DeAndre Jordan instead of Clint Capella, you would have to essentially go back to the drawing board in regards to your defense, and I don't think that's something they are willing to do. Now, Clint Capella is a free agent, a restricted one, and he is going to get a raise, but I don't really see that playing a big role here because, as explained plenty of times, including our most recent show on Tuesday, it makes sense for the Rockets to bring back Clint all the way to the max. He is that valuable of a player, not just offensively, where he's incredibly efficient, but defensively for the reasons we've just laid out. And even if DeAndre were theoretically cheaper, perhaps the easiest way would be for DeAndre to opt into the final year of his existing deal. He has a player option just like LeBron James and Paul George. In the case of DeAndre, it's about $24 million, and facilitate a trade. And the reason I say that's the most realistic is that even if the Rockets were to let Clint Capella walk for whatever reason, which I think is a terrible idea, it's not like you would be below the cap and then have room to sign DeAndre as a free agent. That's why it doesn't make sense for the Rockets to let an asset like Clint Capella walk, especially at 24 years old, because you couldn't reap the rewards for it anyway, because the Rockets are capped out regardless, unless you're also planning on letting Chris Paul walk, and at that point, you're just completely deconstructing a team, and I have no idea why you'd be interested in a soon-to-be 30-year-old DeAndre Jordan. That said, there is one possibility where you could replace Capella with Jordan, and it's if you were to dangle Clint in a sign-and-trade, potentially even for LeBron James in July. As crazy as it sounds, it is feasible. However, it's unlikely because with Capella being a free agent, he would have to consent to wherever he is being signed and traded to. And I'd be very surprised if a post-LeBron Cleveland, we know what a wasteland that was like a few years ago when that happened the first time in 2010, would be anywhere near the forefront of Capella's list. So in theory, if you could trade for Jordan, then you could use Capella as a sign-and-trade ship, but ultimately, I don't know why he'd make sense for Cleveland, or I don't know why Cleveland makes sense for him, I should say, and I don't know why he would make sense, Capella, that is, for Oklahoma City, who has Steven Adams, that's where Paul George is. So, in theory, it could give you options, and yes, the more options you have, the better. Even if it's just a 5% shot, then ultimately, the more options you have, and the fact, when I say options, that DeAndre Jordan has an interest in Houston, he's from here, the Chris Paul and Luke Bamute connections, etc., etc. It's not irrelevant. I don't see it as likely, but it certainly doesn't hurt, and I'll take it as a positive. The one scenario I do wonder about, would DeAndre Jordan be willing to take a backup role in which, you know, Capella played, say, 28 minutes and Jordan 20, and you had 48 minutes of elite defensive production at the center position, albeit very different types of defense, as explained earlier, but both very good. I'd be surprised, given that Jordan is just about to turn 30 years old, and especially if he opts in, he'll be playing for his next contract in July 2019. I doubt he likes Houston enough to take a smaller role, and I doubt he's willing to give up a lot of money, although he has earned a lot of money over the course of his NBA career already, so who knows. But if the Rockets struck out on LeBron James and Paul George, and the Clippers were willing to take Ryan Anderson, because Ryan Anderson's $20 million, that almost lines up with DeAndre Jordan. And keep in mind, the Clippers are already capped out for next season as is. So it's not like if DeAndre walks for nothing, they get cap room. They're pretty much already near $100 million in salaries, even without him. And there are plenty of Ryan Anderson connections in L.A. already with Pat Beverly, Lou Williams, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, etc. If you're the Rockets and you could get the Ryan Anderson contract off the books and then bring in DeAndre Jordan as sort of a much upgraded Nene on your bench, would you consider it? I think Daryl Morey would if the leading options, LeBron James and Paul George, did not work out. Now, ultimately, the Clippers certainly are not going to willingly take Ryan Anderson, and the trick is that I don't think the Rockets would give up two first-round draft picks for a backup center whose contract expires a year from now. And in that scenario, it's unlikely because, to start with, DeAndre would have to be willing to opt in to go into a backup role, which at 30 years old is probably unlikely. He would have to like Houston, but he'd have to like Houston a ton to sign up for that scenario. But if he were willing to, in a perfect world, and say the Clippers were willing to settle for one first-round pick instead of two to take Ryan Anderson, I think there's a deal to be had. And I think for the Clippers specifically, a team that is essentially at the cap this year no matter what, you're really just talking about one extra year for Ryan Anderson. Now, the going rate for first-round picks is typically a lot less than $20 million, so ultimately it's still unlikely. But given the connections to Ryan Anderson that are there, and given the fact that clearly with Doc Rivers, they do have some interest in winning now, it's not a typical rebuilding scenario, so to speak. All I'm saying is that crazier things have happened. In a perfect world, if DeAndre wanted to get to Houston, and apparently, according to Kelly Eco, that's a focus of his, if he were willing to become a backup, if he were willing to opt in, and the Clippers would take Ryan Anderson along with one future first-round pick, again, I don't think the Rockets would give two, given the limited minutes, assuming they keep Capella, which is certainly the plan, and maybe a few marginal prospects in the Jochi, Isaiah Hartenstein, Shinanu Anuaku tier. It'd be interesting. I don't think it's anywhere near the forefront of the list for the Rockets. I think they're focused on LeBron James and Paul George at the front of their list. But if those don't work out, if you could bring back the same team and then conceivably upgrade your backup center spot to DeAndre Jordan, I think they would consider it. It's not crazy. It's unlikely because first you'd have to get DeAndre to sign up for that role, and then you'd have to get the Clippers to take the Ryan Anderson contract without getting multiple first-round picks, in my opinion. I don't see Daryl Morey moving two first-round picks for such a limited role. But while it's unlikely, there's some logic to it, and so I would just say keep it in the back of your mind. It's extremely unlikely. It's just, well, as I said, it's about the same as the scenario of trade for DeAndre Jordan so that you could potentially have Clint Capella as a sign-and-trade ship for LeBron James, Paul George, or whoever it may be. That's very unlikely, too. I think both of these scenarios are probably, 5, 10% at best in terms of the likelihood that they could come to fruition. But ultimately, you add a couple of those together, and while still unlikely, it's not insignificant. And I think for Daryl Morey and the Rockets, as you progress through this month and the various scenarios that are going to be coming more into focus as the NBA Finals wraps up and we get into full off-season mode, there's not one scenario that's going to be likely. I think what Daryl Morey is wanting to look at is getting as many small scenarios as you can, essentially give yourself, think of it in poker terms, as many outs as possible, and then maybe one of those works out. That's how I look at the DeAndre Jordan thing. Do I expect DeAndre Jordan to be on the Rockets roster next year? No, I don't. But his interest in the Rockets is at least intriguing from the standpoint of giving you a couple more options to further bolster your team in the weeks ahead. Now, for the final segment, we're going to shift our focus into less rumors, more news, because rumors, yes, LeBron James, DeAndre Jordan, there's been a couple of intriguing stories in the past 24 hours, but the rumor mill, we're all premature. It's not even the end of the NBA season as I'm recording this during the day on Friday. There's still at least one more game to go, and as far as LeBron in particular, with his season still going, LeBron's type of competitor, I don't think he's going to even start to look at his situation until after his season is over and he gets a few days to clear his head. That's why it's beneficial if they lose as early as possible. I'd love it to happen tonight, which would give him 3 full weeks to make his decision on whether he would opt into the final year of his contract to potentially facilitate a deal to the Rockets. The more time he has, the better. I think now some of the reports are inherently off base, because what you have is a lot of people around him speculating in the absence of actual news from LeBron, who is focused first and foremost on his own team and his own production on the basketball floor. That said, whenever the NBA Finals do come to a close, give it a few days for everyone to decompress, and then at that point, I think you're going to start to see rumors that are of more substance come out, and that's the point to really start listening if you're a Rockets fan wanting to see what happens with LeBron James, and also, for that matter, with Paul George, because I think there's a domino effect, and then if the Rockets go after Paul George, of course they would go after LeBron James first. So if for some reason there's intel that LeBron and the Rockets might not be a fit for whatever reason, maybe LeBron doesn't want it, maybe the Cavs are unwilling to play ball on a trade, then at that point, that's when you might hear more substantial rumors about the Rockets and Paul George, because they're more willing to commit to that path, to Paul George being their preferred option. So days, especially weeks ahead, stay tuned, should have lots of things to discuss. To close out today's show, let's acknowledge the actual news of the week, which came out during Game 3 on Wednesday night. The NBA Players Association, they announced their awards, and for the second time in 4 years, the MVP is voted on by the NBA players, is the Rockets' James Harden. And by the end of this month, he is almost certainly to get his first media award. That's the more traditional MVP at the ceremony that I believe is on the 25th. The draft is on the 21st, and so I think it's the start of the next week when they have that televised ceremony in which Harden will accept the award on stage in front of hundreds of his peers, and of course, these days, a large TV audience as well. As far as what it means, I'm certainly not saying that it's any sort of consolation for losing in the playoffs. James Harden and the Rockets and you guys as the Rockets fan community focuses on winning the title. They had a great shot and they fell short. And ultimately getting back to that Western Conference Finals against the Warriors and taking the final step, that's the goal. There's no real silver lining, consolation, anything like that to winning the MVP, because that's not the goal. That said, the respect that comes with it can be a means towards achieving that goal. First, for the players to say James Harden is the MVP twice in 4 years, won it in 2015 over Steph Curry, and then this year, I'm guessing LeBron James finished in second place, that shows you what James Harden's reputation is amongst the players, the guys who watch him day in, day out, not just in the court, but in the film room. These are the players that know him best, even better than the media, and it's a lot of respect. And now later this month, with the media award becoming that ceremony, to see James Harden up on that stage being considered the best player in the world, there's significance to that. Russell Westbrook won the award last summer, and a few days after that, the Oklahoma City Thunder traded for Paul George, and a couple months after that, they were one of the only teams that Carmelo Anthony was willing to waive his no-trade clause to go to. So yes, to be honored like that, of that significance, MVP of the entire league, there's meaning to it. Especially now that Harden is signed to that Supermax extension that's going to pay him eventually over $40 million a season, and now he's signed until his low 30s, essentially the entire prime of his career in Houston, the Rockets are James Harden's franchise, and the accolades that come from being voted by your peers and presented in front of them, in the case of the MVP award, it certainly does not hurt, especially when in June and July, in NBA circles, it's all about the buzz factor. And for Harden to get those storylines in June, heading into a very important late June / early July for the Rockets in free agency as they seek to take the next step in terms of building the roster, it certainly doesn't hurt. Now, I'm sure there are going to be some that watch LeBron James coming off this incredible playoff run and say, well, is Harden really the MVP? And my answer to that would be, yes, because it's a regular season award. And by the way, in the context of pursuing LeBron James, it's an important reminder because of the heavy lifting that James Harden is able to do over the grind of 82 games. That's something Chris Paul saw when he was considering his options last summer. It led him to Houston, potential to play off the ball more, which in theory should help his body hold up more as he goes to his mid-30s and kind of the final phase of his NBA career. And the same thing could be said for LeBron. LeBron was not the most valuable player in the regular season, in large part because defensively, he took plays off. Even compared to James Harden, I know Harden doesn't have the most sterling defensive reputation, but LeBron was not very good defensively this season. And I think it's because he knew that, quite frankly, if he were to go all out for 82 games, especially with his limited teammates in Cleveland, he would run his body into the ground. he conserved himself for the playoffs, and now that you're in this elimination setting, now he's really turned up, and LeBron in the playoffs, yes, he's been the best player on the planet, as we all knew, and probably the best in the history of the game. But for a guy who's going to turn 34 next season and entering his 16th season in the NBA, for a guy who is already, as you can tell by the big discrepancy in regular season versus playoff LeBron James, managing his body over 82 games because the grind is too much, then having someone like James Harden around to do the heavy lifting to keep you not just afloat, but in the case of the Rockets, the number one seed, the best record in the entire NBA based on what they accomplished over 82 games, there's a lot of potential value to that for a LeBron James. And for all that's made about the fit, is he willing, and the same can be said for Paul George, to play more off the ball because of James Harden and Chris Paul, yada, yada. Well, for guys that are 33, about to be 34, that may actually be what you need because you want your body to last into your mid to late 30s and to keep the window open as long as possible. Because if LeBron James wants to make a run at the six titles that Michael Jordan has, he only has three right now. The key for LeBron, more than anything else, is time. And playing with James Harden and these MVP awards reflective of just how dominant he is over the 82-game regular season, that could buy LeBron the time he needs to make a legitimate run at Michael Jordan. And that might be as much of a selling point as anything. Because there are a few situations where you might could see LeBron, especially given how great he is, just look at how bad the Cleveland team is around him, making a run next year. But for LeBron, it's not just about 1 year. If you want to talk about positioning yourself for the final phase of your NBA career to win as many titles as possible, maintaining his body is a big part of it, and James Harden, his regular season success, being the MVP even over LeBron James, it's a reminder of just how much value there is to other players, including LeBron James, maybe Paul George as well, playing in Houston, where James Harden can do a lot of the heavy lifting in the regular season and thus conserve the bodies of these older players for the playoffs a little bit more than if they were to go somewhere else and probably have a higher burden over 82 games. So with that, we can wrap up today's show. As always, thanks to you guys, our loyal listeners, for tuning in. And also thanks to our special sponsors over at BlueChew.com. Remember, just use the promo code MBA to try it for free. There's just a mere $5 shipping fee for your first shipment. Again, that's BlueChew.com, today's sponsors. We'll have a lot more content in the days and weeks ahead as the rumor season gets going into full gear. But if you want more in the interim, the best place is always to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. We've also got a website at LockedOnRockets.com, a Facebook account at Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, email address at LockedOnRockets @gmail.com. Always, you can access content, ask me questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, just like our friends over at Blue Chew, today's sponsors, were able to reach us. Those are all viable ways that you can help make this podcast even better than it already is, which is the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Also, if you haven't already subscribed to us, please do. That's how you'll get our episodes right when they come out. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, pretty much wherever you listen to your podcast, just subscribe to us, leave us a 5-star review, and you'll get our episodes immediately. And also those 5-star reviews, that's how we're able to remain financially viable as, again, the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. So for today, I'll sign off. Hopefully, you guys all have a great weekend. And then when next week kicks off, hopefully with the NBA offseason underway, we'll be back with more rumor talk right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for regular discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.